Isaiah chapter 55, I want to talk to us this evening about thoughts. It's kind of a dead subject, isn't it? A boring subject. But God tells us here in Isaiah chapter 55, in verse number 8, He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It's quite the comparison, or the contrast. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways and His thoughts higher than our ways and our thoughts. And sometimes we probably think we're fairly smart. Sometimes we might think that we're fairly intelligent. But in comparison, God's thoughts and God's ways are far superior to our thoughts and our ways. There was a man that lived back in the 1600s. Most of his works were, or all of his works were completed, were compiled in the 1600s. He is a French philosopher, a French mathematician. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name exactly, but I believe his first name was René Descartes, his last name. He said something that would probably just roll off of most of our minds. We wouldn't think anything at all about it. But if you read his paper, if you read his writings, you might have a little bit of a better understanding of what he was saying. But this is the statement that he made. He said, "I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am." It was a statement that was trying to prove the existence of himself. You say, "Well, that's silly." Again, you'd have to read the thing, and more than likely you would read the first paragraph and you'd probably lay it down because it's not the best of reading. I'm talking about the best of reading as it's not a novel that's going to attract your attention. It's not going to have any pictures. It's going to be some pretty dry and pretty deep reading. It's going to take quite a measure of effort to take in what he's saying. "But I think," he said, "I think, therefore I am." If my mind is functioning, if there are thoughts going through my head, then that is a proven point that I exist. God says that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Our very best thoughts. What was your best thought that you've ever had? The best thought that you ever had, the most logical thought that you've ever had, the most original thought that you've ever given. What about your correct thoughts? "Oh, my thoughts are all correct." All of these things in relation to our thoughts, the best and the most logical and the most original or the most correct, they pale in comparison to the simple thoughts that God would have. The most simple thoughts that God would have. Mankind was designed by the hand of God to think and to reason. And from that ability to think and to reason, man can come to certain results or to certain conclusions. But God, in His lofty position of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, knows everything. We have thoughts. He knows. What a comparison there, isn't it? Our thoughts are really not even worthy to be compared to the thoughts of God. That's kind of a slap in the face. But in reality, the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the thoughts of God higher than our thoughts. Somebody penned the words that I believe it's in a song. "Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? That's quite the statement as well. Probably a little more understandable to us than Descartes' phrase or sentence, "I think, therefore I am." That probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us, but this one about God never having anything occur to him is understandable to us. Nothing ever occurred to him. God doesn't have any new thoughts. God doesn't have any light bulbs going off in his head. You ever have a light bulb go off? Flash on all of a sudden. Oh, there's something brilliant. I had one of those this week. Talking with a young man that gave us a little bit of, not real problem, but a little bit of a practical joker that may, in my opinion, went overboard. And he didn't think it went overboard. But a light bulb went off in my head. And so I gave him that wonderful, brilliant thought. And it sunk into him. He didn't like what I was proposing. He realized that what he did was overboard because of that wonderful thought that I gave him. Boy, you can walk away from that patting yourself on the shoulder and say, "Well, I succeeded." I really don't know if I succeeded or if he was just telling me what he knew I wanted to hear. Did you ever have a good light bulb go off? A wonderful thought. You see, God doesn't have light bulbs going off. Everything is right there before him. Everything already exists in his mind. Nothing ever takes him by surprise. Nothing ever catches him off guard. You know, those words are really encouragement to us. That in the midst of the darkest trial that we may face, in the midst of the most despondent time that we live, God is fully aware of what is taking place. Nothing has ever caught him off guard. The comparison continues with God and ourselves. We see in this passage that our thoughts and his thoughts are so far apart that the comparison is hard for us to grasp and nearly impossible for us to understand, as well as our ways and his ways. You see, our ways, normally, by the nature of mankind, is that we are slow to forgive. But it tells us in Micah chapter 7 that God delighteth in mercy. That's the phrasing of the King James translation. He delighteth in mercy. He gets a charge. He gets excited about mercy, giving mercy. Not that we are merciful to him. He doesn't need our mercy. But he delighteth in extending mercy, where we, on the other hand, our ways in comparison to his is that we by nature are slow to forgive. We by nature also lean towards sin. And if you don't believe that, you might want to go back and read 1 John. And it tells us there that if you think you're without sin or incapable of sin, you're going down the wrong path. But what is it when, in comparison, when we think about the human nature leaning towards sin as a whole, every single one of us would have that tendency to lean towards sin. We see, on the other hand, as the comparison or the contrast, that God is holiness. He is the epitome of holiness. He is the embodiment of holiness. It tells us in Scripture that he is simply holy. Just like we say that God is love. It's not that God simply loves, but he is love. That's the same thing about holiness. God is holy. What a contrast. Humanity that leans towards sin, but God is to the very depths, to the very core, is holy. Think about his grace. Have you ever stopped and really tried to dwell on his grace? It's incomprehensible. How that God in his position, God in his wisdom, God in his knowledge, God in his holiness, God in his love, God in his justness, bring that all in to the conversation about grace. It's hard to comprehend. In this chapter in Isaiah, it starts out in the first verse, says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." It's grace. Verse number 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." You see, God's thoughts and his ways of grace are so far superior that when a person comes to God, they must forsake their own ways and their own thoughts. Because his ways and his thoughts are so much superior, so much better, so more perfect than what ours could ever be. We must forsake our own thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's grace. The incomprehensible definition or message of his grace, so much higher than our thoughts. There's a lot of things in life that I struggle to understand. I don't understand the whys and the wherefores of many things. I have ideas. You have ideas. We both probably think that our idea is a pretty good idea. But when we get together and compare our ideas and realize how different our ideas are, we may say that my idea is better than your idea. That right? We usually think of ourselves as smart enough to have our own ideas, and we like our ideas for the most part. But who's to say which idea is the better idea? Oh yeah, let's bring in a third party. Well, then that person may have his own idea. There's a lot of things that we can't understand, we can't comprehend, we can't define. But God knows all. Did you ever meet a know-it-all? They have a comment about every subject, and they are authority on every subject. Sometimes you wonder where they get their authority, where they get their knowledge. What are they reading to find out those things? There's some people that are know-it-alls, but God knows everything. The songwriter said, "All around my soul gives way. He then is my hope and stay." Was this thing about God's thoughts going through the writer's mind when they said that in the midst of all the perplexities of life, when all around my soul gives way? Another songwriter said, "I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day." Those are pretty good words. Don't have the knowledge about tomorrow. I've got plans for tomorrow. Do you? I've got plans for tomorrow. Some of the plans for tomorrow aren't necessarily mine. Some of them are already planned for me. I'm supposed to give a report to conference about youth camp tomorrow, and I've got maybe 1/10 of it completed. Got youth service tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. I wonder when I'll get the report done. You see, there's some plans laid out for me tomorrow. Do you have any plans for tomorrow? I just live from day to day. God knows the tomorrow. He knows the way that I take, is what the writer, or I believe it was Job that said that. He knoweth the way that I take. He knows exactly what my next step will be. He knows where my path is leading. I don't know what the future holds. You know what the rest of that statement is? But I know who holds the future. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. What about the thoughts of God? What are His thoughts toward man? What are His thoughts toward me or you? Personally speaking, when we think about our plans and what we intend to do or what we'd like to do, and all around my soul gives way, He then is my hope and stay. And I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds. All of these things come into our mind. What about these thoughts that come from God? Jeremiah has a very clear answer for them. Jeremiah chapter 29. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Verse 11, he said, for I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. He's got big plans. He's got big plans for us because His thoughts towards us only consist of those things that are good and not evil. But there's a hinging point there that we must seek Him with our whole heart. The thoughts of God are higher than our thoughts. They are greater than our thoughts. I think, therefore I am, falls into nothingness when we realize that in the midst of all of our thoughts, all of our best abilities, God is so much superior. God still exceeds. And we are asked to simply walk in His hand, walk in His paths, walk with our hand in His, because His thoughts toward us are of peace and not of evil. You've got questions about life? Trust in God. You have a misunderstanding in life? Trust in God. His thoughts exceed ours. And they are only toward us of peace and not of evil. Let's stand together this evening. Wow, two Sunday nights in a row dismissing early. Looks a good influence on me. Trust you have a good week. Pray for us at camp. I'll be traveling back this evening, and I think that there's some that are there that are traveling back this direction tonight as well. Pray that the Lord will give protection and help, and those that are at camp would also continue to be blessed by the Spirit of the Lord at Pilgrim Camp, as well as those that go over to Singing Hill. May God pour out of His Spirit. Let's pray for each other, rejoice in the Lord, thank God for His thoughts toward us of peace. Praise His name. Is every heart clear tonight? Terry, would you dismiss us?